Right, let's get to technology news now before we get into any more trouble. Fevzi Turkup, the gadget detective, is live to us. How are you, Fevzi?
Good morning. Good, thank you.
Now, listen, can we invert your... You sent me a list of stuff. Can we do it in a slightly different order? Because I saw this and I thought of you. The Australian Prime Minister wants access to encrypted messages. What's this all about?
His people learn nothing. Well, this is essentially the same demand that we had from Amber Rudd in the UK, Home Secretary in the UK, a few months ago. Governments don't like the fact that there can now be communications which are hard for them to listen in on. It's not impossible. You have to do it differently, but you can't intercept the messages in the same way and be able to read them, because it's what's called end-to-end encryption, such as WhatsApp and Telegraph and others, where the message, as it leaves your device, your phone, for example, is scrambled, and it's only unscrambled when it arrives at the recipient's device, which means, although they can intercept the message, they can't read it because it's in a scrambled form. So the Australian government says it wants new laws to force tech firms like Apple and Facebook to provide access to encrypted messages. The arguments are these, that encryption gives citizens their privacy, encryption allows the banking system to work, encryption allows us to have a functioning democracy. So it is very tempting, very understandable that governments want this, but be careful what you wish for, because you know, when you say terrorists want to change our way of life, well, they'll have achieved their goals if you do this. This is quite,
it's the old balance between your liberty and protecting us from the bad guys.
But more so, and the final point is, it would not even achieve the goal, because terrorists will roll their own technology and still be able to do this. The mathematics of encryption is easy and well understood. They will then be able to message each other in an encrypted way, and the rest of us who aren't spies or terrorists will have lost our freedoms, and for nothing.
Okay, now I love this headline because it very much applies to me. When your body becomes eligible for an upgrade, if ever, I mean, look, thank goodness this is not television, you can't see me, but ever, if there was ever a body that needed to be upgraded, you're looking at it, if you were looking at it.
Yeah, Howard Hughes 2.0. Yeah, why not?
I think it'd be very, very, HAL 9000, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the bionics, and those of us who are old enough will remember the $6 million man. It seems like a very cheap price tag now, but bionics is becoming a reality increasingly so. Professor Hugh Herr, who's the head of Biomechatronics Group at MIT.
Glad you said that.
Yeah, I just about managed it, didn't I? He's actually a double amputee himself, but to look at him, you wouldn't know it. He saunters into a room with a pair of bionic legs, which is far smarter than any others. These legs have sensors that allow them to know where they are in space and in relation to other things, so they'll know, the legs themselves will know when they're on a staircase and adapt accordingly.
So is this all about giving your brain access to bits of technology that you might have about your person?
Exactly. It's basically creating an interface where technology can communicate with the nervous system, the brain and the spine, seamlessly. Yeah, the brain is very adaptive. Yes, you don't have to replicate a leg. You'd have to replicate it mechanically, but not in terms of how it works neurologically. The brain can adapt to almost anything you strap to it. It's very smart. But you have to build some smarts into the prosthetic itself, so it has to have sensors, rather like the sensors on a self-driving car, so the car knows where it is in relation to everything else and where other objects are, in the same way the leg senses these things. Now, the point is this. We're moving to the point where essentially, they will cure disability. It's caused either by paralysis or amputation. That will be the first stepping point, if you'll pardon the pun. And beyond that, we will then improve. And we're already seeing that. So, for example, in 2014, Adrienne Haslett-Davis returned to the dance floor a year after losing a limb in the Boston Marathon bombing. I mean, she lost a leg and now dances.
So this technology is staggeringly good stuff that could help so many people and, you know, will even, I guess, intrude into all of our lives eventually.
yeah, we'll all be cyborgs in the end. I mean, if you take the strict definition of a cyborg, which is, you know, a human being with technology embedded or implanted, then,
yeah,
then
I that's mean, look, being serious for a moment, I mean, I know that you've got, I'm going to say that word, by the way, make sure she's turned off, Alexa. You've got Alexa, and yes, you can ask Alexa to do things, but the future is, and look, I interviewed for another show that I do, Michio Kaku, one of the most famous scientists in the world, an amazing man. He'll be appearing on my podcast before very long. And we were talking about the fusion of us with technology, not only robots taking over our jobs, but the fact that we are going to become beings that will think a thing and that thing will be done for us, not with us asking for it or doing anything, but just thinking it.
Yeah, just in the way that you move your arm without thinking about how you move your arm, you just move it because you want to move it, then you'll have the same thing. But these adaptations, it's not just about doing away with disability. Important, very important though that is, but it's also about augmentation. So for example, it's already happening. There's a retail chain in America called Lowe's, Lowes. They're piloting exoskeletons for staff, developed by Virginia Tech, to assist them with lifting work. The technology already exists to alleviate some of the physical exertion of walking by 25%. So when you wear one of these suits, when you walk, say, 100 miles, you will feel as if you walk 75. So we already have that. You already have shipbuilders working with really heavy drilling equipment, which they could never really normally lift, but they're wearing an exoskeleton. So the force of the weight of the drill is going through the exoskeleton outside their body, not crushing their spines, and down into the ground.
So that wonderful Alien movie, I think it was the sequel, where Sigourney Weaver is on the spacecraft, and she's showing the guys that she can do anything that they can do, and she gets into this suit that lifts massive great pallets. She was completely fused with that, so that's all becoming reality.
That stuff, exists.
All right. Now, Febzy, we only have a minute and a bit. Gadget of the week is a 360-degree really cool camera by the looks of it.
Yeah, so this is an action cam, so you may be familiar with things like GoPros and so forth. This is from a company called Kit Vision. It's called the Immerse 360 Duo, and it's a 360-degree camera. How does it do 360 degrees? I hear you ask. Very good question. It's two cameras back-to-back in one box, so facing away from each other. Each of them has a 180-degree field of view, and between them you can record an incredible 1080p full HD 360 video, so everything from every angle around you. There's an app, of course, to allow you interactive playback of this, so you can look around, you can spin and look around in every direction after you've shot the picture.
And this technology used to be massively expensive, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And this is pretty good, because, as I say, it's in an action cam format. You can mount it with sort of normal types of action cam accessories, so you can put it on a mountain bike or on your helmet or, you know, whatever it is. You can use a VR helmet, a virtual reality helmet, to look around a 360 photo that you've already taken, or 360 video even. And you can use it with Wi-Fi as well.
I was going to say, you can stream it all live.
Yeah, you can stream it. You can stream it directly to a smartphone, and then on from there, if you put your mind to it. So, incredibly clever. List price, $250. I've seen it for $199.
Okay.
And on that basis, I've given it 4 stars out of 5.
All right, Febzy Takhap, if people want to shoot the breeze with you, where do they go?
Come and say hello on Twitter, @GadgetDetective.